Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated, Allah is ghani. Allah ta'ala said that I am wahid, I am one, and I am the ghani. And all of you around me, everything that is created is dependent on me. You are beggars to me. You ask from me. Only me, Allah Ta'ala says, is it who is ghani, wahid, the only one. But Allah, you have stated that we are all the fakirs, we are all the beggars. So how can the people who are superior in the world, the kings, the leaders, the people who own so much, who are rich and wealthy, how can they be the beggars? They have got a lot of wealth, they are maliks, they are owners, they have homes, they have shops, they have assets. These big businessmen, how can they be fakirs? How can they be beggars? They've got a big status in the dunya, they're recognized, they've got bank accounts and a lot of money in the banks. But the fakir, the beggar, is that person who has nothing, who is dependent. But these people are not dependent. And you have said that I am the ghani and that everyone else in the creation is dependent on you, O Allah. So what about these people? These people are fakirs. Kingdoms, wealth, sultanates and lands, etc. These are all given. Allah Ta'ala has given these to them. These are not theirs. Yeah. So when a person is bestowed something, given, so for example, a king who's inherited his wealth, and for a while the king delegates his throne to someone else, then can he be the king? Can I be the king? Can you be the king? No. The king is the original person, the one who is the heir to the throne, who has taken the throne through the inheritance or the assets through inheritance. Allah Ta'ala says that everything you've got is from me. I can take when I want and I can give when I want. That's it. I can give to who I want and I can take from who I want. I can give when I want, I can take when I want. So that's why we are all beggars. It is Allah Ta'ala's decision. It is Allah Ta'ala's choice. Nobody owns anything. Nobody can say, this is mine. Within a second, Allah Ta'ala can remove it, eliminate it. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the events with regards to this, that there were two individuals who had big gardens. And we read this in Surah Kaf. And both of them, Allah Ta'ala said that I've given you the orchards, grapes, there were rivers, water. One said that this is all mine and this will stay mine forever and nobody can eliminate my garden. This is mine, this is my asset. And what's Qiyamah? What is the hereafter? I don't know about Qiyamah, but this garden's going to carry on. I'm the Malik, I'm the owner, I'm the leader. And then when the time came, he realized there's nothing there. Everything was finished. Everything was eliminated. Allah Ta'ala eliminated the sign, the visibility. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, when He gives a person items or wealth or assets or rank or status, the difference between you individuals and human beings in their status, in their wealth, in their aql, in their wisdom, in their money, in their beauty, there's visible difference in it. Somebody's rich, somebody's poor, somebody's middle class, so cool. Somebody is elevated in knowledge, somebody's got a certain technicality, and somebody's inferior compared to another person. All of these differences are based upon the hikmah, the wisdom of our Creator. Allah Ta'ala said that it's my hikmah, I've made someone rich, poor, somebody's tall, somebody's short, somebody's high status in the dunya, high wealth, recognition, somebody's a master, a technician, elite in a certain field. All of these things are based and hinge on Allah Ta'ala's hikmah, Allah's wisdom. And it's not necessary. It's not necessary that Allah Ta'ala says hikmah, wisdom I've mentioned and I've explained. And then when we ourselves start to understand and or start to think that I am the Malik, I own this, I earned this, this is my money, this is my kingdom, this is my achievement. Allah Ta'ala says, this is my test. When Allah Ta'ala gives, when Allah Ta'ala says that the strength behind the status in the world, remember we have to understand that this is not our strength. This is not our capacity. This is Allah Ta'ala who's given it to us. It's a test. Let's take a king. Okay, he's a king. He's got status, power, strength, energy, recognition. But if he says that I am the king and nothing else can be beyond me and above me, Allah says, no, I'm the Malik. I am the king. I am the owner. And if I consider my car as my own, my business as my own. This is being driven and it is existing, it is flourishing due to Allah Ta'ala's hikmah. The person who says this is me, 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 mine, 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 he fails. He fails. The person, it becomes like Fir'aun. And the person who says, no, this is Allah Ta'ala who's bestowed it to me, given it to me, then he passes the test. When the person starts to demonstrate Fir'aun characteristics, this is my seat, my throne, my power, I am the leader, I am in charge, I am the king. Allah says, that's where I test it. How much are you immersing yourself, drowning yourself into the water? So Allah Ta'ala has given us clear direction here. Hazrat Shaykh Saadi, rahmatullahi alayhi, who had a very high status, who gave great nasiha to the ummah, to mankind. And on this verse, he gave great nasiha. He mentioned an event that there was a very rich and wealthy person. And he had palaces, and big houses, and mansions, servants, rich, wealthy. Allah Ta'ala gives to some people. Not everyone has it. Allah Ta'ala bestows it to certain people. Somebody who doesn't have money and cries and says, I don't have nothing. He should understand that this is better for me. This is Allah's hikmah. So he becomes the king of his time. The person who is content. And the person who is a king and says that this is not mine. That he treats everyone the same. The poor people the same. Middle class people the same. Then Allah Ta'ala gives him the true robust kingdom. Solid kingdom. So here I remember a small point. That as a person who passed away, Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi, who was Umar Thani, the second Umar. And after breakfast, people used to wander around and see how much was his kingdom. Yeah, people used to see. He had, mashallah, lot of expanse in his kingdom. But Allah Ta'ala said that he was the fakir at the same time, that he did not consider himself to be the king. That if you think you are the best, he had the sultanate, the kingdom, and then after that there was the torn clothes, no food at home, and nothing for the family, no clothes to wear. And they used to wear the lower waistcloth, subhanAllah. And nobody could recognize him, that when he used to wear nicely, he used to wear beautiful attire, and how he used to leave the home, and he was famous, that Umar bin Abdul Aziz, there's nobody like him, top class lifestyle. So Allah Ta'ala shows both things. So when he passed away, and after him came the next king, who was Yazid bin Abdul Malik, after Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Then he was given nasiha by him, that whose kingdom is this? Allah Ta'ala's kingdom, remember this. And Allah has given this on hikmah. So listen to this nasiha. That because we all will be on a different rank and a different status at a different level. We'll have a small home, isn't it? And even then we're proud of the home. And a person who drives the cart down the alleyway, he thinks that this is mine. But never should ever person consider this is mine. The person who has the most knowledge, ilm, high rank, and people start to praise you in the world, say, no, 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 Allah is the ghani. Allah is ghani. We need to create this awareness in the heart, and we need to struggle for this, and this is tazkiyah. I'm saying this, but this is how it should be practically. If this is what's happening practically with us, then that person is accepted in the eyes of Allah. Accepted by Allah. So this is the majlis of tazkiyah. I'm not reciting a song or a story or jackanory or a folk tale. That's why I'm saying we need to look into ourselves. Every one of us is the king of his home, isn't it? We have our kingdom in a home. If I've got four sons, I'm proud of, this is my son, this is my son, he's a doctor, and he's this, and he's that. And in Pakistan, I've got this many homes, and in India, I have this much land. And tomorrow, yesterday, we didn't have anything. Today, Allah has given us the heights, and now we make it a story. Then Allah says, Wallahu ghaniyun. Allah says, I am the ghani, and I know who is the ghani. That's why I'm saying that here we are sitting, this is a tazkiyah gathering, and these type of discussion occurs. We had nothing in our pockets when we came. And now we don't even consider or look upon a person who is lower than us in our status. And it's from our efforts we have attained this. We all know how to work hard. I've got two hands, you've got two hands, you've got two hands, you've got two hands. I've got akal, you've got akal, he's got akal, that person's got akal. Everyone's got money. We also can work 8 hours, 10 hours. But Allah Ta'ala says, this is my hikmah. That I want to see the differentiation, and I want to see who becomes the true rich person, and who becomes mine, who becomes close to me. Never consider that this is yours, this is mine. So let me tell you an event of as a Shaykh Saadi. This is not a story, this is an event. And don't say that, no, this is the king who does this. No, everyone does this in his home, in his kingdom. Allah Akbar, a person gets a bit of money, £40, £400, few thousand pounds, stop meeting people. When he gets riches and wealth, look at my son, he's got this car, he's got a detached house, I'm wealthy. The other person who doesn't have anything, and he has tried hard, worked hard, and we don't even understand or recognize that person. No, we should not belittle that person. And even that person says, Alhamdulillah, I've got so much, because Allah Ta'ala saved me from a big test, a trial. This is the biggest test for me, that I will realize in the Akhirah what is reality. This is the test. This is the test. So, mashallah, he was very rich. As the Shaykh Saadi rahmatullah is mentioning an event, an account, that there was a very wealthy person. Then he got married, and he was sitting in his palace, and he had the servants wandering around, doing the work. And it's time to eat in the evening meal, and it's raining outside. There was a storm, you know, like suddenly the weather changes and the winds are blowing. And nice and cool environment and climate, and his newly wedded wife, they're sitting and talking. And then a fakir came, a person to ask, this happens, remember this. Then a fakir called out from outside, oh, I'm hungry, for the sake of Allah, give to me a beggar, somebody who had a need. Who? He gave the wasta of Allah. He said, for Allah's sake, I am hungry, please give me something. I've not eaten for days. He didn't get the answer. Then he knocked, or he gave the bell again, please, for the sake of Allah, give me some food, I'm so hungry. And then the rich man got angry. How dare he? He's coming here to disturb us. I'm busy, I'm sitting with my wife and talking, we're about to eat. And he's asking, and he became angry. And he thought, the king's coming, he's going to give me some food. I came to the door of a rich man, and I requested at the palace, and inshallah, nice food will come to me. MashaAllah, I don't know what dish is going to come. The door opened, and he slapped him, then he kicked him, then he shouted at him, and swore at him, and grabbed him from the hair, and he smacked him on the door, said, how dare you? Do you not shame? Are you not ashamed coming to pester me? Was this the only house that you could find? Go to someone else's doorstep and plead to them. And I have heard and seen these events in my own eyes. If we go to our countries, we see this. Wallahi, this is the character of our people. Servants, they don't even consider them as humans. The servants, men and women, the way they are treated, you cannot imagine. You know this best. This is about our culture. Ittaqullah, bring fear of Allah into the hearts. That Allah Ta'ala says, my staff, when I swipe, oh, then the swipe will come down firm. Don't do dhulam to people. Don't oppress people. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like dhulam. If you have oppressed someone, ask for forgiveness. Never, never should we make a mood angry. I am the one. I am strong. I am powerful. The history has bears witness. The person who says, this is my seat, after just some days, Allah is ghani wa antul fuqara. Allah says, in their necks is the chain, and they are the chain. It burdens them. And it drags them down. So he slammed the door shut on the face of the fakir, the poor man. He had wounds. Then he looked to the heavens, to the sky. He said, Allah, that I came to the door of your human being, your creation. I came to the door of your creation. But now I come to the door of the Creator. The Creator. Before it was the creation. Now I come to your door, Allah. 3 days I've been hungry, and you know about my situation. Allah. And you know about my situation, I have nothing. And I came to your door to call out that maybe I will get something, but I got a slap, I got the kicks. Allah, I'm happy, whatever you give to me. That's it. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah came into Jalal. And Shaykh Saadi says, Allahu Akbar. The time passed, and the situation changed. The tide turned, and the difficult time came for that person. And he himself became the person in difficulty. And where he had the things made of gold and silver, he had to start to sell them. And his business went downhill. When a person drops, then I've seen these zawal. In this country, I've seen zawal. People are wealthy, big shots, big warehouses, riches, wealth. I swear by Allah, in 10 years, I've seen such events. Those people are wandering in the streets, brothers fighting, and their buildings are distributed. Someone's got wealth in one part. One part person, those people are split. They're split, they're not together. The business has collapsed, money is distributed, finished. So, what happened? The woman said that you've got no food at home now. Please release me, let me go back to my home. Please leave me. To this extent that when the difficult time comes, then there's no one to help, no one cares. And the people, only those there with you at the time when you have riches and wealth, they want to eat and consume your wealth. But when you lose, the relatives leave you. Oh, you know, his son's wedding, he hasn't called. Oh, this was the son of my cousin, And you know, our grandfather, when there were weddings in the family, we used to call his father so easily, and today they haven't even called us. They haven't even invited us. This happens, doesn't it? They're waiting, the poor souls, that he's a rich person, there's a wedding in his home, maybe we'll get an invitation, the children are waiting, we'll go and eat in the meal, in the feast. I'm talking about this country. Relatives, they don't even ask anyone because they have nothing to the name. Because he's not according to our standard. We only want to call rich people, wealthy people, high class people. So brothers, that is what happened. So the rich man who beat the beggar, the man who's in poverty, the hard times came, money went, business went, house went downhill, his wife left him, no money left, friends left him, no money left. Then what happened? Because he had a high standard, and then subhanAllah, he got married again. And the same way, she went and got married to someone else who had a high standard, who had the jewels and the gold, and she went and spent time with her husband, just like she had the standard. And subhanAllah, because what is there less for woman? She leaves from one door and goes to the other door. So this is what happened. So it was darkness, then the storm came again. Then the clouds came, then the storm came, then the rain came. And then she's sitting with her husband. Suddenly the door was knocked upon, and the door knocked, the noise came, "For the sake of Allah, give me some food. I am so hungry, I am so distressed. For the sake of Allah, give me some food, some bread." And the man, they were people who were about to eat. And he said, the man said, to his wife, that do this, that don't know if we give him food, and for him it will fulfill his need. But pack the food for him, all of the food. Doesn't matter if we don't eat, we'll pass the time with difficulty. All of the food we've made, pack it for him, and tell him to take it home to feed your children, and you eat yourself as well. And she said, you go. He said to his wife, you go, I can't give. So the wife, she was thinking, and maybe she didn't understand, because she had gone through a difficult time. She said, no, you go. He said, no, you go and give the food. Why are you afraid? Go and give the food. So she went to the door. She opened the door. And when she saw, she started to cry. And she cried so much. And he said, what's wrong? What's wrong? She started to cry and went back. And she said, are you afraid of the beggar, of his poverty? What's happened to you? She said, no, I'm not afraid of this. I am afraid of Allah's Jalal, that how Allah, He is independent from all of His creation. Allahu Akbar. Allah is independent from His creation. That this man who came to the door, he was my husband from before. And there was such a night that all of the buildings and the jewels and the gold you had, he had more than this. He had assets more than this. And we were eating once like this. And the fakir came to the door. And that fakir, he asked for food from my husband, my ex-husband, in the same way. And he was so disrespectful to that poor man. And then he started to cry. And he started to cry more than the wife. She said, why are you crying? He said, we are all fakirs. And he said, you have recognized him. Haven't you recognized me? You haven't recognized me. You've recognized your husband. But I was that beggar who came to the door of your husband. Aha, Allahu Akbar, my brothers. So this is an ajeeb thing. Allah is the Malik. Allah is the owner. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm independent. Never should a man think that he owns everything. Never consider anything as yours. Everything belongs to Allah. Poverty Allah gives, wealth Allah gives, riches Allah Ta'ala gives, status Allah Ta'ala gives. We should have shukr to Allah upon everything. But to understand this, to reach to this situation and condition, we need a good, clean, pure heart. And this is, these are the ibadat and worship that are accepted by Allah. And this is every day in our homes, in our society, in our relatives, we see these actions. Remember this, that doesn't matter how much we padlock our wealth, but Allah is ghani. And we are the fuqara. We are the people who are in need. We are in desperation. We need Allah Ta'ala to give to us. We can padlock our treasure chests, our money, our wealth, our assets, but it can never become ours, because Allah Ta'ala is given and Allah can take whenever He wants. Subhanallah. And we should consider Allah as the Malik, and Allah is the Khaliq, and He is the one who provides, and He is the one who takes. So we should make our hearts good. We should become good people. The status that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the items that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, whatever He's given to us, Allah says, take that and benefit the people. Whoever has got the haq, the right, fulfill their right. If Allah Ta'ala has given you wealth and assets, then spend it on Allah Ta'ala's creation. Allah, you have given this to me. I've eaten this, I've consumed this, and I will spend it in your path. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, you will see such people. Allah says, in the life, they have no worry. They have no worry. Allah Ta'ala says that the people who give and they take, they are considered that this is Allah's hikmah. Allah's given to me, and this is Allah's kamal. Allah Ta'ala's, you can say Allah Ta'ala's action here, that Allah Ta'ala's given to me,
And Allah says, I test that person who I give to, that does he just keep it in his pocket deeply, or does he give to other people? After I give to him, Allah Ta'ala says, it will never be that he should say it's mine. You know, when the river, it flows with speed. The more water you take out, it continues to flow and provide water. Does it ever decrease in its quantity? No, it never does, because it's giving. It's giving. The river doesn't take. Allah Ta'ala says it gives. Allahu Akbar. So the person who gives never reduces in his wealth. The wealth never reduces. All of the world can go to the river and drink from the river. And the animals, creatures and insan, human beings, they're drinking and taking water from the river, and it continues to flow and give. Allah Ta'ala says, sometimes my rahmah and my blessings increase so much that despite becoming dry, Allah Ta'ala gives so much that the water floods its plains. And all of the terrain around it, Allah says, I give so much that we can't control it. So the mankind can never be poor. And the person who says that this is not mine, Allah has given to people for this reason, that I want to give you thawab. I've given you, and you should distribute that to my creation. Allah says, when I give to you, my insan, this will become rahmah for you. And you should distribute it to earn more. But when you padlock your wealth, then zakat we have to give. In every condition we have to give the zakat. And even that is difficult for us to distribute. Tax, and we make play games. I have to give this much, and I've got loans, debts, and I'll reduce this much and give next time. And I've paid people playing games with their zakat calculation. And they said, even if this wasn't included in zakat, they say, no, let's include it in zakat. And I swear by Allah, their zakat is distributed for the whole year. The next year, 10,000, 15,000. How is it increasing? How is the hisab increasing? And it's enjoyment in giving zakat. That person feels enjoyment in distributing zakat, in spending for Allah. He's got a beautiful taste and enjoyment, and he will never be poor. He will never be poor. And the person, who does he spend most? When we go, say for example, Hajj and Umrah, when you spend there, Allah says, you spend openly there. When you come back, I will give to you more than that what you spent and took with you. And this is based on experience. You will note this. Some people, they suppress their wealth. They suppress it and hide it. No, I don't want to spend it, and I'll hide it. Allah Ta'ala says, go, you're going in my path or my journey. Don't stop there. Spend it my way. Don't be afraid. This is my home. These are my servants. And these are people who are looking after my home, and they serve my home. And you come after a long time, and they see my home all the time. They're spending their time in my house all the time, and they're looking at Ghumad Khizra all the time, the blessed dome, and they're cleaning, they're serving, or they're living there, and they say salatu wasalam, they're better than you many times over. They live in that vicinity. Don't be stingy. Give to them, distribute to them. Rather, I've given you the wealth for this sake, that you earn here and feed those people there. Don't be miserly. Don't be stingy. Allah says, how dare you? Allah Ta'ala says, oh, you know, we said to Allah, I'll stay in a cheap hotel. I don't want to give sadaqah there. My money will run out. Allah says, no, go spend, do sadaqah there, and then I will give to you more in turn. So this is all based on the state of the heart. But our hearts are padlocked, locked, totally sealed. Open them, Allah Ta'ala says. Put the key in the heart. Put the key in the heart. What is the key for the heart? The dhikr that we do. Wallah. When we do dhikr, if you travel along the journey and you are dhakir, then the heart will open first. The heart will open first, and such enjoyment will come in every action, that where there's padlock, where the hearts are stopped, where you are miserly and stingy in spending and distributing and sharing, when you then put the key into your heart of dhikr and say, La ilaha illallah, and then you continue to do dhikr, and the heart will be unlocked. Allah Ta'ala says that the padlock of the heart is dhikr. The padlock is sealing the heart. When you do dhikr, it unlocks the padlocks of the heart. Not one. Many padlocks of bad actions. The stinginess, niggardliness, miserly, and of backbiting, and all other bad actions. But tell me, the person who doesn't unlock the padlocks of the heart, then what type of death will he have? How will we die? In which state? If we don't do dhikr, the padlocks are there on our heart, and we're not unlocking them, then the heart is sealed, it's locked. We haven't done dhikr all our life. We've not given importance to dhikr, emphasis to dhikr, and the keys in our pocket, and we pass away, we don't use it. Then the angel will say that he's got padlocks all over his heart. What questions will he ask him? What answer will he give? That who is Allah, who is the Nabi, who is the Rasul? He hasn't unpadlocked his heart. His padlocks, he hasn't unlocked them. He hasn't unlocked the padlocks on his heart using the key of dhikr. Brothers, do dhikr in abundance. Kathir and kathira. Dhikr is a great ni'mah. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Allah Ta'ala says that for every lock there's a key, and the key for the lock of the hearts is dhikr. If you want to attain Allah's nearness, do dhikr. If you want to go to paradise, do dhikr. If you want Allah Ta'ala's love, do dhikr. If you want the love of Rasulullah SAW, do love. If you want to cross the bridge of Sirat, do dhikr. The lock, the key to every lock is the dhikr of Allah. So should we do dhikr or not? We should be brave, have courage. There are only a few days in our life. Allah has given us hands, feet. Either spend the time in the masjid, do dhikr of Allah, or spend the time doing dhikr of Allah, or waste it in the dunya. We should do dhikr to reach close to Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Recite the Rushd.